SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Kumi Taguchi and I host a TV show in Australia called Insight, which is unlike any other.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Every week in the same room, we have dozens of guests telling their stories about one shared issue.
There definitely was three people in my marriage.
I started an affair with this man.
From sex and relationships to health, wealth and grief.
Dad, there's been a shooting at the elementary school.
And there's always a guest whose story stays with me.
I actually had guilt for not killing someone.
And I'm left feeling there's so much more I want to ask them. I often wonder, where are they now? So that's what I do here. I go back and I dig a little deeper. This is Insightful. In this episode, I'll be catching up with Charlotte Charles. She was on a special double episode of Insight about seeking justice. Charlotte's son, Harry, was killed in a head-on collision while he was riding his motorbike near a US Air Force base outside Oxford in England. He was 19.
I kissed my boy's forehead and promised him that I would get him justice. And I meant absolutely every part of that sentence. I had no idea how much it was going to take or how long it would take, but that fire kept burning.
Ann Sekulis was driving on the wrong side of the road with no time to react when she struck and killed 19-year-old Englishman Harry Dunn near an American airbase.
Ann Sekulis was an American intelligence officer. She worked at the base and she fled the UK under diplomatic immunity.
I do not think that it can be right to use the process of diplomatic immunity for this type of purpose.
She was able to evade the justice system in England by returning to the US.
Rumours had started flying around on the afternoon saying that you do realise she's gone, you do realise the US have taken her out.
That just wasn't good enough for Charlotte, so she took the fight to America.
My fist went down on the table, audible gasps in my kitchen area, and it was absolutely, no, I will fight.
Charlotte and the promise she made to her son Harry stayed with me long after we recorded that program. I actually sent her an email afterwards. I thanked her for travelling so far to be with us, and I also said how deeply sorry I was that the reason she was on the program in the first place was because her son had died. In an ideal world, I wrote to her, we would never have met. Nearly a year later, we spoke again. Me in Sydney, Charlotte in England, and we started out with a video call to her home.
Hi Charlotte, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you Kumi.
This is Nacho, your beautiful sausage dog.
Can I say hello to Kumi?
Oh, he's so sweet.
He is, and it's like, he always guarantees to put a smile on my face in the morning and be able to come downstairs to this one, and you know, he just wants all the fussing and his tail's wagging like crazy, and it's just that unconditional love, and you can't help but smile and just think, right, okay, do you know what, come on, let's make a plan for today, let's get on with whatever today is going to bring.
Charlotte, I wanted to start with your children. What was the day like when your twin boys, Harry and Niall, were born?
My goodness, I was 25. Hadn't really got my head around the fact that I think I was even pregnant, let alone having twins. So then to suddenly have these two little babies that rely on you fully was quite daunting, to be honest. You know, you don't know how you're going to feel as a brand new mum for the first time. Excitement. I was elated, immediately in love with them, But my goodness, it is hard work. One cries, the other one cries, because the other one thinks there must be something to cry about. So you don't really have many quiet periods.
What were they like as sort of young kids? Were they different from each other?
They were always very different. They were always chalk and cheese. And I think that became very apparent very, very quickly. Niall was quite a lot more demanding. Harry was quite a lot more chilled. Their personalities started shining through quite rapidly, but they were non-identical twins, and I was very, very aware of that. So you do treat them as individuals, but they were very funny as little babies. Very, very funny. They used to make me laugh a lot.
What was Harry like as he got older? Like, what did he love? What made him laugh?
He was always straight into anything to do with engines. He loved sports cars, he loved trains, he loved motorbikes. He was a little petrol head, as we used to call him, from a very, very young age. Mainly, he was just the happiest child.
It's always such a milestone when our kids leave school. My daughter's just turned 18, she's finished her final year. What plans did Harry have after school? What were his dreams?
So he went from school into college, into further education. He'd signed up there for 2 years, done extremely well. He'd achieved some of the highest grades that he could possibly have achieved in computer technology. Absolutely loved it. He was mainly doing computer programming and then teaching himself outside of his college hours coding as well, which he knew was going to continue to be a big thing in the industry. But he worked a lot of hours as well outside of that college work because he was desperate to be able to keep his motorbike on the road. That was his first love. He had plans to then go to university, but unfortunately we lost him before he had the chance to join.
I wanted to ask you about the day of Harry's accident. Is that something you feel comfortable talking about?
Yeah, it's okay.
Charlotte, how did that day unfold for you?
It wasn't a normal working day for any of us. I got up, my husband got up, we went to work. I'd done a full day's work. I was at work for around 11 hours. Harry had done a morning shift, so he'd started at 6 in the morning and finished at 2 in the afternoon. And he'd been out on his bike in the afternoon, he'd been riding around. It was a beautiful summer's day. I was due to leave work at 6:30 in the evening and due to be home for around 6:45. It was a small commute that I had. Unfortunately, with work commitments being in a general practice, you can't always leave on time. Sadly for me, unfortunately for me, I did leave work late that evening and didn't have chance to speak to Harry and catch up with Harry before he was going out on an evening ride. And I generally would have had that chance to do so. And I've always felt guilty for not leaving work on time because I've always thought, well, if I did leave work on time and I did get home, I would have had my normal conversation with him and he wouldn't have been on the road the same time as Ansiculus was. And I've had to try to live with that, which I still to this day find extremely hard. But he went out, he went for his ride, he went to see his twin brother Niall. And unfortunately, when he was in that area, the inevitable happened when someone does drive on the wrong side of the road and he lost his life. We had the phone call from Tim to say that Harry had been involved in a crash. Tim was going to the scene. Thankfully, we had a very good friend of ours who was a firefighter who was on the scene, who was able to alert Tim to the fact that it was Harry that was involved. Tim rang us and said that he believed Harry was going to be okay. He had no idea at the time how significant his injuries were. So Harry went to the hospital, we collected Niall, and we got to the hospital, but unfortunately we didn't get there in time. So I never got a chance to tell him again how much I loved him. And I wasn't with him when he passed away. That's something, again, that I've got to live with. But the guilt you feel as a mum, not being there is pretty immense.
I'm so sorry you feel that guilt.
It's something that will never go away. I'm learning, slowly, to live with it. But I don't think it will ever go away.
You made that promise to Harry the day he died, that you would get justice for him. What did you think justice was at that time?
I had no idea. We managed to get to spend time with Harry after they'd laid him as peacefully as they could. So we went through to him after he'd passed away, and in front of my family and my friends, some of which had come to the hospital, and especially in front of Niall, I kissed Harry on his forehead and promised him that no matter what, I would get him justice. We were already aware at that point of the circumstances of the crash. Our family liaison officer from the police team was there with us. I had no idea how long that justice was going to take. I certainly didn't think it was going to take 3.5 years of fighting, but I didn't really care. I knew that that promise that I'd made was never going to stop burning in the pit of my stomach. So it was crucial that I carried that out.
Losing a child is something I can imagine is just indescribable. What were those days? I can imagine it's still like that now, like for you.
It's like Groundhog Day. When you do sleep, especially in the early days, you dream a lot. I still do. But you wake up from those dreams after you've had fitful sleep and you've spent time with him and you're having your usual daily hugs with him and the I love yous. And then the brutal reality of waking up and realising that you've got to say goodbye all over again. It's indescribable pain. So you live it over and over and over. And the amount of therapy that I went through in the early days, nothing helped. Nothing stopped my mind from going to that place on those times that I was able, probably just through sheer exhaustion, to be able to sleep. Nothing ever seemed to dull the dreams down. And I loved being in my dreams. I loved being with him. And I didn't want to wake up from them, so I got very angry when I woke up from them. And trying to then pick yourself up to get out of bed was increasingly difficult. And it was the campaign, to be honest, that kept me going. That fire in my belly from making that promise of justice to Harry was what did get me out of bed.
During that process, Charlotte, you showed quite a lot of compassion for Anne Sekulis, saying you didn't want her to go to jail as she had kids of her own, wanted them to have their mum. How were you able to be so clear about that in your time of grief?
Shortly after I'd made that promise to Harry in the hospital, we found out that she was a mom of three. I didn't want anyone else to be taken away from their children. I was always able to forgive her driving that night because everybody can make mistakes on the road. We are human. What I couldn't forgive was later on when I found out that she'd actually gone back to the USA. That was very, very difficult to deal with, but I'd made the decision from very early on that I had no desire to separate the children from her, I suppose. I didn't want them to suffer.
You finally got the justice you wanted over 3 years after Harry's death, when Anne Sekulis faced a UK court remotely from the US. She pleaded guilty to causing Harry's death by careless driving. What did it feel like to hear that and get that justice?
Extreme relief, not just because of the guilty plea, but because of the fact that I felt my promise was done. I'd completed my promise to my boy. And after over 3 years, as you say, of fighting, if I wasn't sat down, I would have fallen to my knees without a doubt. I was extremely weak from the inside out. I could feel my body trembling, but from the inside out. There were audible gasps in the courtroom. I could also feel shoulder to shoulder the ripple that went through Niall and us four parents of just utter relief and that sense of achievement. And I could feel a sense of calm coming over me, knowing that I could look up to Harry. Just imagine that that's where he is somewhere with all of those other angels that have been taken from us. And just said, we've done it, Harry. We've done it. And say, darling, we've done it. It was incredible. It was incredible. Straight away, I went straight on to, right, okay, how am I going to build a legacy now? I need to try and make sure that this doesn't happen again. And so you go from almost a slight euphoria, if you like, to then the grief really hitting you extremely hard because you've carried out this promise to somebody that's no longer with you, to then, okay, what do I fight for next? I think it's a way of coping to try to keep busy. So it was a huge, huge mix of emotions. We were at the end of a roller coaster, but I was already looking for the next one to jump on.
Harry's inquest will be heard in a few months' time. How are you feeling about that?
Terrified, if I'm honest, because I don't feel I'm going to be able to fully process everything that led to Harry's death and understand the lessons that I would like all of the authorities to learn. I'm terrified of what I've got to listen to. I don't think I can prepare myself in any way. I'm just going to have to face it when the time comes and rely on my husband and my family and my friends to just see me through it. And I'm going to need everybody more than ever, I think. But as we have done with all of the other hurdles that we faced in the last 4.5 years, we'll plough on through.
Charlotte, that grief roller coaster. Are there days that are harder than others?
There's many things that catch you unawares, many things that you don't expect to get hold of you. It's something you might watch on TV that resonates, something that you might hear on the radio that resonates. Silly things like still to this day going into the supermarket to do the grocery shopping. You know, although I can complete that now and have been able to since justice was done, it still cuts like a knife when you see Harry's favourite food and there's no point in buying it anymore. And stupidly, sometimes I have bought it, even though it's not going to get eaten. It gives me a sense of warmth, I suppose. And going grocery shopping with Niall just a few weeks ago, he decided to pick up a packet of Harry's favourite jelly sweets. And Niall doesn't really eat jelly sweets, but even he picked a packet up, but he did eat them. They didn't go in the bin like mine did. But it was nice for me to see that actually, do you know what, I'm not the only one. You know, little things like that can also make Niall perhaps feel close to Harry in that moment.
Do you mind me asking, how is Niall, Harry's twin brother?
He's trying very, very hard to find his way in life now. And I forget that he's 23 now, coming up 24. He's learning how to be perhaps a 23-year-old as well. He's living in his own place again now, like he was prior to Harry being killed. And he's trying to focus on what he wants to do with his life. He'd worked every day since the day he left school, and he tried to return to work after we'd lost Harry, but unfortunately, he was just unable to do so. I'm still not there yet. I've done some voluntary work, but I've still not been able to go back into paid work. He misses his twin terribly, and his twin was the only one that fully understood who Niall was. I think any twin out there listening will understand that. So Niall is coming on leaps and bounds, but he's still having to learn to live with the fact that the one person that knew him inside and out is no longer there. And it's very lonely for him at times, for sure. But he's making progress.
What things do you do, Charlotte, to help bring some healing to your life?
I write. I used to read a lot before Harry was killed, but my lack of concentration since his death has been quite immense, actually, at times. I don't take in as much as I used to, so I'll find myself, if I try and pick up a book, I'll read a whole chapter and then realise when I pick the book up next that I've not remembered anything from that chapter. So I go back and start again, and in the end I just gave up and just decided to write my own feelings down instead. So on my worst days and in my deepest of darkest of hours, I just pick my pen and paper up and I write my own feelings down in the form of my own type of poetry. And it has helped me over the years because I can now reflect on ones that I wrote really early on and look at the ones that I write now, and I can actually find some solace in those to see that I am moving forward, even on days where I feel like I'm perhaps being left behind and everyone else's lives are moving forward or their lives are moving on and I don't feel I'll ever be able to move on, but I believe I can move forward. Reading back on what I've written, I can see that I am making progress. I'm able to talk about how I'm feeling during those deepest, darkest of days now, whereas before it just came out in frustration or extreme anger or hours and hours of just crying rivers and oceans. Yeah, it's helped me a lot. I found my own form of therapy, I think, for now. I'm not going to say that I won't go back to therapy. I think I probably will, but it's likely to be after I've learned as much as I possibly can, and of course that will be after the inquest in June.
We hear often about people who have suffered such deep grief and loss that they find it hard to be joyful because it feels like an injustice in a way to the person that you've lost. Is that something you've had to grapple with?
Yes, pretty much up until justice was done. You do inevitably have those laughs and those giggles, but they're never the way they used to be. You don't have those big belly laughs and that freedom of being able to laugh, that freedom of being able to enjoy life, because you constantly live with the fact that someone is missing, someone extremely significant, the most significant person in your life, you know, a child when you've lost them, you're very aware that they are not there. So prior to completing that promise and prior to of getting justice, the guilt that you feel from even being able to properly smile, oh, it's really profound. But having achieved the justice, I felt confident in being able to smile again. I remember smiling outside the courtroom because I knew that I'd done all I could for him. And I knew that he wouldn't want me to continue to feel that guilt of feeling joyous. But it takes a long time to get your head around. It really does. And it's a very slow progress. And I guess everyone is different, but you just have to listen to your own heart and go with your own gut instinct. And yeah, I feel okay about smiling now. I do. It's a nice feeling. And Niall needs to see that too, let alone my husband and my mom and my brother and my nieces. You know, it's for myself too. And that feels good.
We had so many people reach out to us, Charlotte, about you and about Harry after you appeared on the program. You really struck a chord with so many people. Why do you think you struck such a chord with us?
I suppose with my particular case, it was because the whole injustice of it with Anne Sekulis going back to her home country and the US government playing a part in that. And I think for me not to accept that that was okay, because it was a case that was right versus wrong. And I couldn't let that lie. I couldn't allow what happened to me to continue to happen to others. And if I didn't fight, it would have continued. And I suppose, again, as a parent, you know, as a mom, when you make a promise to your child, you don't break it. So I suppose that might be why people resonated, because it could have been them. And I'm just continuing to do everything I can to make sure that no other family has to go through what we've been through.
Charlotte, it is such a pleasure to see you again, to talk to you again. I can't tell you how grateful I am for you to spend this time with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and send my love to everybody that I met on your programme, please, and yourself and all of your crew. You're amazing. Thank you.
You've been listening to Insightful, an 8-part series from SBS, recorded in Sydney, Australia, on the land of the Gadigal people. Insightful is produced by Felicity Davey, Cassandra Allen and Kate Harassi, and edited by Maddox Foster. If you enjoyed this episode, please stay tuned for more. Until next time, I'm Kumi Taguchi. Thanks so much for your company.